Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم اس وقت میں حضرت مسلم معود رضوان ہو کے واقعات پیش کروں گا.
At this time I will present those incidents of Hazrat Muslim Maud, the second Khalifa of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, where he cites and refers to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. What was the promised Messiah alayhi salam's level of respect and reverence for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and how would the promised Messiah alayhi salam respond? Hazrat Muslim Maud states in one place, mentioning an incident about Lake Ram, that once the promised Messiah on whom be peace was at the Lahore or Amritsar train station, and Pandit Lake Ram also arrived there and said salam to the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Since Pandit Lek Ram held a very high status in Arya Samaj, those with the promised Messiah on whom be peace were very pleased that Lek Ram had come to say salam to the promised Messiah. However, the promised Messiah on whom be peace did not pay the slightest attention towards this. When the attention of the promised Messiah was turned towards this, with the assumption that maybe the promised Messiah alayhi salam did not see Lek Ram say salam, the promised Messiah on whom be peace said with immense fervor that isn't he ashamed? He uses foul language for my master, yet he comes and says salam to me. Therefore, the promised Messiah on whom be peace did not care at all that Lake Ram had come. In the view of ordinary people, it was considered a great accomplishment that they gained a chance to meet a person of authority or a leader. So thus, whenever such a person of this category comes near to them, they meet with him with great enthusiasm. However, if a poor person comes to them, they don't care at all. Mentioning this same incident at one place, Hazrat Muslim Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, says, the respect that the Aryas acquired for having Lake Ram in their midst was the reason why that people of high status considered it an honor to meet with them. But look at the honor of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. that Pandit Sahib came to meet the promised Messiah on his own, but the promised Messiah said to him to quit using foul language for his master, and only then would he meet him. Here, on the one hand, we learn of the great regard towards the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and on the other hand, we also learn that it is not adequate to say salam to people of high status only because of their status, and that doing so will authenticate our honor. Rather, it is integral to be considerate of a poor man's honor, and to show devotion is a fundamental thing. If a person of a high status uses bad language against the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then regardless of how high a status the other person possesses, there is no need to give him importance. There are in any case various perspectives on this. Similarly, while mentioning another incident, Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that the promised Messiah alayhi salam's treatment toward his children was at such a high level that one could not even imagine that the promised Messiah could ever get upset with them. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that we were young, and we used to think that the promised Messiah alayhi salam never gets angry. His standard of love for his children was such that Hadhrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, states that he mentioned to Hadhrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, that the promised Messiah alayhi salam once said that he felt pain in his rib. A hot pad was applied on this area, but he gained no relief from this. Finally, when it was examined, it was discovered that a small piece of brick was in the promised Messiah's pocket, due to which his rib was aching. When asked, how did this make way in your pocket, the promised Messiah said that Mahmud gave me this piece of brick to keep it safe, so I placed it in my pocket to take it out when he asked for it. Hadhrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib says that he asked the promised Messiah to give it to him so that he could keep it with him. The promised Messiah said, no, I will keep it with me. So he had such love for his children. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that the promised Messiah used to love all of us and was very affectionate towards us, and particularly the promised Messiah used to love our youngest brother, Mirza Mubarak Ahmed, very much. We used to think that the promised Messiah cannot love anyone more than him, yet this love did not surpass his love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once during childhood, this favorite child uttered some words out of ignorance, which were contrary to the eminence of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So at that, the promised Messiah struck him very hard on his body. Then, while stating another incident, Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that in Lahore there was a convention of Aryas, in which the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, was also invited. The organizers of the convention promised that not a single word will be uttered against the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. However, severe abusive language was used at the convention. A few members of our community also went there, including Hadhrat Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib, whom the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, respected particularly. When the promised Messiah heard of the abusive language against the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the convention, the promised Messiah said to Maulvi Sahib that how did your honor let you remain seated there? Why did you not get up and leave? At the time, the promised Messiah was so furious that it seemed that the promised Messiah would become extremely upset with him. Maulvi Sahib said, Hazur, it was a mistake. The promised Messiah said, what kind of mistake is this that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is maligned and yet you continue to sit there? Hadhrat Musleh Maud has stated that I was with Hadhrat Khalifatul Masih the First, and the promised Messiah also admonished me severely that why did you continue to sit there? Hence, nowadays, these people accuse the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, falsely, that, God forbid, the promised Messiah thought of himself as someone greater than the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can these people challenge these emotions and expressions? I wish that these accusers take notice of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, is love that he had for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then, mentioning about the debate which took place with Abdullah Atham, Hazrat Musleh Maud says that the debate with Atham has been published in the book Jung-e-Muqaddas. This debate of the promised Messiah took place when the promised Messiah had announced that he is the promised Messiah, and the Muslim clerics, the Maulvis, had announced that the promised Messiah was a kafir, an infidel. They had passed a fatwa, an edict, against the promised Messiah that he is wajibul qatl, liable to be killed. The time that the Hadhrat Muslim Maud is referring to is 1923. It wasn't a peaceful time for the Jamaat as now. Nowadays, while in places where Ahmadis are less in number, they face adverse conditions. It was like that for the entire Jamaat back then, and these were the circumstances prevalent everywhere. In this time, a non-Ahmadi goes up against a Christian, because this challenge was given to the non-Ahmadis of Jindalia, who invited the promised Messiah to represent them in this debate. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that a non-Ahmadi challenges against a Christian. For this, the promised Messiah was requested to contend. The promised Messiah agreed to do so spontaneously. The promised Messiah did not say that the Christians are not our enemies like the non-Ahmadi Muslims are, because the Christians had not passed a fatwa to kill. But the non-Ahmadi Muslim clerics had passed a fatwa to kill. However, when the non-Ahmadi Muslims appealed to establish the honour of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the honour of Islam and the unity of Allah the Almighty, then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, left for this debate outside of Qadian. This was the promised Messiah, on whom be peace's regard for the religion and faith. For this, he did not worry about anything else. In any case, this was a long debate, which lasted for 15 days. And then ultimately the promised Messiah alayhi salam prayed and he set a time limit and announced a prophecy. Regarding this prophecy, the promised Messiah himself says that tonight when I supplicated earnestly and passionately prayed on the threshold of the Almighty, that you decide regarding this matter. We are humble people. We cannot do anything without your decision. Hence, he showed this sign as a glad tiding, that in this debate, out of the two parties, the one who is adopting falsehood intentionally and is abandoning the true God, that person will, according to these 15 days of the debate, 1 month for 1 day of the debate, that is, within 15 months, that person will be thrown in the pit of hell, and he will be inflicted with extreme humiliation on the condition that he does not turn towards the truth. And the one who stands for the truth and believes in the true God, his honour will become evident through this debate. The promised Messiah was indeed the believer of the true God. The Christians had taken Jesus for God, and they were debating about this. Anyways, this is a long discussion. As I have stated, the world had also witnessed the outcome of this. Regarding this matter, Hadhrat Musleh Maud has stated one or two incidents, which I will present now. Hadhrat Musleh Maud mentions regarding Khwaja Ghulam Farid Sahib. that a prophecy as a warning regarding Deputy Abdullah Atom, which was stated by the promised Messiah, as mentioned before and which I have read out, that when the time passed and Atom did not die, the time limit was for 15 months. Those with a superficial view started an uproar that the promised Messiah's prophecy had proven false. Once in the court of Nawab Sahib of Bahawalpur, some people mocked the promised Messiah alayhi salam's prophecy that it had not been fulfilled and Atom is still alive. At the time, Khwaja Ghulam Farid Sahib from Chacharawale was also present, and Nawab Sahib was his follower. During this conversation, Nawab Sahib said the same, that the promised Messiah's prophecy was unfulfilled. Upon that, Khwaja Ghulam Farid Sahib became vehement and said with immense awe and glory that who says Atom is alive? I can see his dead body. At that, Nawab Sahib became silent. After narrating this incident, Hadrat Musleh Maud says that there are some people who seem to be alive apparently, but in reality they are dead. And some seem dead, but in reality they are alive. Those who offer their life in the way of God, in reality they are alive. And thousands among those who are alive are considered dead by those who possess spiritual sight. Those who are alive are considered dead by those who possess spiritual sight. It is written about a saint that he used to live in a graveyard. Once someone said to him, "Why have you left the living and moved to the graveyard?" He replied, "Everyone in the city seems dead to me, and over here I see living people. Therefore, it is not possible for everybody to recognize the spiritually dead and those who are alive. A true believer should try to recognize this. It is possible to recognize those who are living and the dead if one has spiritual insight, and we should all strive to attain this. Regarding Abdullah Atom, let me also say that not only was he spiritually dead, but he also died physically according to the prophecy. Indeed, there was a small delay in this regard, but that was also for certain reasons, and for that the promised Messiah alayhi salam has explained himself. Then regarding this prophecy of Atom, Hazrat Musleh Maud states, "It is a duty of a mu'min, of a believer, to put his trust in Allah. It is Allah who does everything. However, it is our duty that we act, think, and speak according to what Allah the Almighty has said. That we should act, think, and speak in accordance to what Allah the Almighty has said." Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that the promised Messiah foretold a prophecy about Atom and its time period passed. He says, "I was 6 or 7 years old at the time. I remember the scene clearly. The place where the book depot and Qadian was located and there were vehicles that were in the room beside it. In the room to its west, Harid Khalifa Tomasi I used to deliver a dars, or practice medicine. In the last days, the late Maulvi Qutbuddin Sahib practiced medicine there. There was a storeroom next to it," he is mentioning about the location, "where books were placed. During that time, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, used to have a press, which was in that room where Hadhrat Khalifa Tomasi I used to practice medicine, and there was a proof sheet and book that was placed there. In any case, some of the students of Hadhrat Khalifa Tomasi I also used to stay there. In those days, there weren't many people there, so normally those who used to come became the students of Hadhrat Khalifa Tomasi I. This was the madrasa, and Hadhrat Khalifa Tomasi I used to teach there. Other than this, there was no other madrasa. Those people were Hadrat Khalif Tumsi I's students, as well as servants of the movement. I remember clearly that I was very young when the time period regarding the prophecy about Atom was fulfilled. This is probably in the end of 1894 or the beginning of 1895. I was 5.5 or 6 years old at the time. To this day, I remember that scene. I didn't understand it then because I was very young. However, now I understand with the incidents that the day when it was the last day for the fulfillment of the prophecy about Atom, that is 15 months would have passed. That day there was so much torment that people were crying and wailing and praying that, O God, cause Atom to die. This was happening after Asr and before Maghrib. Then it was time for the prayer. The Promised Messiah led the Salah or the prayer, and after the Salah, the Promised Messiah sat down in the gathering. Although I didn't used to attend the gatherings regularly at that age, but I used to sit in the gatherings every now and then. That down, I also sat down in the assembly. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, showed displeasure at the act of those who were praying in that manner whilst crying. He said, "Can any human have honor for God the Almighty's word more than God the Almighty himself? When God the Almighty has said that this will happen, then we should have faith that it will surely occur. And if we have misunderstood his words, then God the Almighty is not obligated to adjudge according to our mistake." If we have misunderstood this thing, then God the Almighty is not obliged to adjudge according to our understanding. Our duty is only that when we have accepted someone to be true, we should have belief and conviction in his words. Therefore, a believer should have complete trust in God the Almighty, as God's words will always stand to be fulfilled. And as I have mentioned, that this prophecy was fulfilled, and indeed fulfilled in a great splendor. Although the prophecy was deferred for a short duration because of Abdullah Atom's repentance, however, he eventually came under its wrath. Regarding this prophecy, the Promised Messiah has mentioned in several instances, and I will relate one or two of these. Regarding the prophecy concerning Abdullah Atom, the Promised Messiah states that members of our community should be aware of these issues. Our community should be aware of these issues. They should always remember them. They should remember regarding Atom's repentance that as soon as he heard the prophecy, he took out his tongue, placed his hands on his ears, trembled, and went pale. His act of repentance was witnessed by a large gathering and was overcome with fear and fled from one town to another. He ended his opposition and never published anything after that against Islam. He also failed to show up when he was invited through an announcement that was published with a reward for him to take oath. In consequence of concealing a clear and truthful testimony, he died according to the prophecy made about him. Refraining from giving testimony resulted in his death, and though his death was delayed, it still eventually occurred. If these details were presented before a fair-minded Christian, even he would be compelled to acknowledge this. Therefore, it is incumbent to be fully aware of these issues and necessary to consult books. It is only by reading the books of the Promised Messiah that one can be aware of these matters. Then the Promised Messiah in another place states that this prophecy was conditional. He remained in a state of panic and wandered from one town to another. If he really had faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then what was the reason for all this apprehension? However, as soon as he concealed the truth and sought to misguide the people, because at times concealing the truth can prove to become a stumbling stone in the way of some of those who are unaware of the facts. God Almighty, according to his promise, removed him from this world within 7 months of publishing our last announcement. and the death with which he feared and sought to flee from eventually took hold of him. I cannot understand what difficulties people could have in relation to Atam's incident. In spite of the strong evidences present, they deny the prophecy. Whereas the courts at times give out the death penalty to offenders based on strong evidences alone. Thus, Atam was a huge sign, and in clear and elucidative terms, a revelation can be found in Barahini Ahmadid that alludes to this incident. Then, in another place, the promised Messiah regarding the prophecy states that it mentions the condition of failing to repent. The condition does not state he should become a Muslim. Before this, he had already written that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, God forbid, was Antichrist, and it was because of this reason that the debate was held. And when I told him the prophecy, he immediately covered his ears with his hands and pleaded his innocence that he did not use the word Antichrist. These people fail to understand that to become a Christian or idolater is not the cause for the calamities that strike the earth. Becoming a Christian or idolater is not the cause for the calamities that strike the earth, because for such punishment, the day of judgment has been decreed. Calamities or punishment occur because of mischief. If Abu Jahl and others had not committed mischief, then the punishment would not have befallen. Punishment and calamities do not come merely because of false religious beliefs, and neither is any prophecy made because of it. Prophecies are always made because of increased mischief. The promised Messiah then states that no matter how much a person indulges in worshipping idols and other humans, punishment does not befall until there is mischief. If calamities were to occur simply because of these reasons, then what would happen on the Day of Judgment? The promised Messiah also stated that the real prison for the disbelievers is in fact the Day of Judgment, whereby decisions will be made. A natural question that arises then is that why do calamities occur in this world and punishment? A concise answer has been given by the promised Messiah, which is that it is as a result of mischief. During the course of the debate, the Christian missionaries devised a ploy in an effort to degrade the promised Messiah and sought to test the promised Messiah in such a manner that would result in his humiliation. However, God the Almighty turned the evil of their ploy back onto them, and their condition became so apprehensive that those who were witnessing said that it was a state that ought to have been seen or witnessed. Regarding this, Hazrat Musleh Maud states that at the time I was very young. I was a small child. And so, in reference to Hazrat Khalif Tumsi I, stated that Hazrat Khalif Tumsi I used to say that in the debate with Atam, I witnessed an incident in which we were left dumbfounded, and soon after our heads soared into the skies. He used to say that when the Christians became tired and realized that all their ploys have failed, they gathered some blind, deaf and crippled people with the help of a few Muslims. This was in order to make a mockery, and they made them sit on one side before the debate recommenced. When the promised Messiah arrived, they immediately presented those blind, deaf and crippled people before him, and said that disputes cannot be resolved through speech alone, and the debate has now finished. You claim that you are the second coming of the Messiah, but Jesus of Nazareth used to grant eyes to the blind, ears to the deaf, and would fix the hands and feet of the crippled. To save you from any trouble, we have gathered some blind, deaf, and crippled people, and if you really are like the Messiah, then you should be able to cure these people. Hadith Khalif Tumsi I states that the moment we heard this statement from them, our hearts sank, and even though we knew that there was no reality in this, but we were still worried that now they have an opportunity to laugh and to mock. However, when we looked at the promised Messiah's face, we didn't notice even a single trace of dislike or anxiety. When they finished making their statement, that is, when the Christians finished saying what they were saying, the promised Messiah stated to the priest, "Listen, the Messiah that I have claimed to be similar to, according to the Islamic teaching, he did not cure these sort of blind, deaf, and crippled people. But it is your belief that the Messiah used to quite literally cure the blind, the deaf, and the crippled people. It is also mentioned in your book, in the Bible, that if you have even an iota of faith, and you call on the mountains to move, they will move. And the miracles that I show, that is Jesus, peace be upon him, you also can show to them, that is to his believers. Therefore, this question cannot be posed to me. I only show the miracles which my master, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showed. And if you seek to see those miracles, then I am ready to demonstrate them. As far as these miracles are concerned, the Bible states that any Christian who has even a grain's worth of faith can show the same kind of miracles as Jesus, the Messiah of Nazareth, did. Therefore, it is good that you have gathered these blind, deaf, and crippled people and saved us from this trouble. Now that these blind, deaf, and crippled people are present among us, if you have even a grain's worth of faith, then you should cure them." Hadrat Khalifatul Masih I used to say that the Christian clergy were left astonished at this answer, and they started to pull the crippled people away. Thus, God the Almighty grants honor to His close servants on every occasion, and He grants them with such answers that thereafter the enemy is left staggered. Hadrat Musleh Maud states regarding a person who had great belief in the promised Messiah but then later renounced his belief. That there used to be a person in Ludhiana called Mir Abbas Ali and was very devoted to the promised Messiah, to such an extent that the promised Messiah had received a revelation regarding his pious condition at the time. When the debate between the promised Messiah and Muhammad Hussein Batalvi took place in Ludhiana, Mir Abbas Ali took a message of the promised Messiah to them. Maulvi Muhammad Hussein and the other Maulvis, the Muslim clerics present, accorded him with great respect and honor. They kissed his hand and said that he is from among the progeny of the Holy Prophet. They said that they could do the bayt at his hands, but where had this Mughal come from? If someone was to be appointed, it would have been from among the progeny of the Holy Prophet. And then they started talking about the tasawwuf, mysticism, and the saints. Mir Sahib had a great belief in mysticism, and the Maulvis, Muslim clerics, related a few stories, and said that saints used to demonstrate such kind of miracles, and narrated various incidents, and said that if the promised Messiah is such a person, then he too should show a miracle, and we will accept him today. For instance, he should hold a snake, or do something similar to this. This took root in Mir Sahib's heart, and when he returned back to the promised Messiah, he said, "Huzur, if you show a miracle, then all the Maulvis and Muslim clerics will accept you." The promised Messiah used to say that the moment he heard the word miracle from Mir Sahib's mouth, he immediately became certain that Maulvis had now led Mir Sahib into their trap. The promised Messiah explained to him, but he would not understand, and as a result, his faith was wasted, and he lost all his devotion and belief that he once possessed. Then, narrating the same incident of Mir Abbas Ali, Hadhrat Musleh Maud states that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was once granted divine knowledge about Mir Abbas Ali Sahib Ludhianvi, that he was a pious person, as has been mentioned before, that he received the revelation, and the promised Messiah then started to praise him. However, the promised Messiah had no knowledge of his ultimate end, and so was unaware that he would one day renounce his faith. But God Almighty later granted him this knowledge too. Therefore, man's knowledge is very limited, and it is only God Almighty who has perfect knowledge, which is superior than all others, and no one can encompass God's knowledge. However much God Almighty reveals to his prophets, they can only pass that much on. With further reference to the same Mir Sahib, about whom the promised Messiah had a revelation which greatly praised his spiritual strength and who had great devotion for the promised Messiah, but later renounced his faith. Some people raise allegations against the promised Messiah that he has been praised in divine revelation, then why has this person renounced his faith? The promised Messiah said that no doubt he had been praised in the revelation and he possessed great spiritual strengths. But when he misused those strengths and let arrogance and conceit get to him, then God Almighty's wrath took hold of him and he renounced his faith. Hazrat Musleh Maud states that the prayer in Surah Al-Fatiha informs us that man is ever prone to hypocrisy and disbelief, and both of these ills attack people only after they have entered the circle of those who have been rewarded by God. Only after entering the group of those who have been rewarded by God do they attack, and this is affirmed in Surah Al-Fatiha. Which speaks of the Jews and the Christians in a similar state after having been rewarded. If those who have been rewarded do not recognize their true status, then God Almighty, due to their arrogance, either includes them among those who have been incurred displeasure or among those who have gone astray. Therefore, it should be remembered that the prayer that God Almighty has taught us for the protection from evil at the end of Surah Al-Fatiha should be made with the idea that may God Almighty always include us amongst those who receive His blessings and protect us from its ill effects. Worldly knowledge does not constitute for nobility or eminence. Regarding this, Hadhrat Musleh Maud states that if worldly knowledge constituted for nobility, then all the prophets of the world would have to be considered as liars, God forbid, because they were all opposed by scholars. Prophets are opposed by the worldly scholars, and the promised Messiah was also opposed by those who considered themselves to be great worldly academics and scholars. Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Batalvi, in a very degrading manner, used to write to Munshi Ghulam Ahmed for the promised Messiah, suggesting that the promised Messiah was not a scholar. God forbid he was just a Munshi, a scribe, who could write a few lines. And Maulvi Muhammad Hussain would become very happy when he would write the word Munshi, scribe. Hazrat Musleh Maud then states that I was very young when Maulvi Sayyid Muhammad Asan Sahib Amravi mentioned in a gathering that Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib Batalvi wrote in reference to him that he is a Maulvi, but for the promised Messiah, he wrote the word Munshi. Hazrat Musleh Maud states that I was very young, but I still remember that I disliked the fact that he mentioned this in a gathering, and even today I dislike it. Therefore, those who believe in the promised Messiah should select words that are more appropriate, and certain incidents do not need to be related in this way. We often hear about the incidents of the promised Messiah's truthfulness. We should also hear it in the words of Hazrat Musleh Maud. He states an incident of the promised Messiah that he once placed a letter inside a parcel which was against the postal rules and regulations, but the promised Messiah was unaware of this. The postal service filed a case against the promised Messiah and commissioned a special officer for the case so that the promised Messiah would be handed down a punishment, and they strongly pursued for punishment to be given, so others also became more alert. The promised Messiah's lawyer told him that the case is very simple. Because the parcel had not been opened in front of the witnesses, therefore he should simply deny it, and say that he had sent the letter separately, but because of mischief and enmity they claim it was placed inside the parcel. The promised Messiah said that this would be lying, but the lawyer replied that there was no other way of escape. The promised Messiah insisted that no matter what the circumstances, he would not resort to falsehood. And so when the promised Messiah was asked in the courtroom whether he had placed the letter inside the parcel, he replied that he did, but he was unaware of the postal rules. Upon this, the prosecution side gave lengthy speech and insisted on handing down a punishment so that others could also take heed from it. The promised Messiah says that since the speech was in English, I could not understand what was being said. I could only understand the words no, no, when the magistrate said regarding the speech. At last the speech finished and a magistrate said, acquitted, and that since he has stated the truth in this manner, I will definitely acquit him. Hence we have all heard this incident numerous times and read about it. I have also mentioned it on various occasions. However, we only listen for enjoyment. This is a small sample of the standard of truthfulness which the promised Messiah has presented before us. But those who fall short to uphold this standard of truthfulness for their personal gains, they need to do a self-analysis. In these countries, in order to gain benefit from the government, to seek asylum, to take advantage of insurance companies, wrongful methods are adopted. Ahmadis who do such actions should think that this is the incorrect worldly way to gain material benefits. This doesn't behove an Ahmadi. Is it permissible to use mystical and magical enchantments? Sometimes people use these greatly. Hadhrat Musleh Maud wrote that the promised Messiah used to say about Hadhrat Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that he lacked the faculty of contemplation in comparison to other companions. The Maulvis, the Muslim clerics, made a lot of noise in protest, but what is correct is obviously correct. These days, all the hadith that favor Christians, that is in support of Christianity, are all narrated by Hadhrat Abu Huraira. The reason for this was that he did not look at the reference to context, and he used to narrate small portions of a conversation without understanding it fully. However, other companions used to narrate while understanding the context. Similarly, now traditions are being published regarding the promised Messiah. Many amongst them are being narrated by people who do not possess the faculty of contemplation, and for this reason, such narrations get published upon which people start objecting in front of us. Therefore, once a narration was published that the promised Messiah instructed some people to recite a chapter of the Quran repeatedly whilst taking some chickpeas. And presented to the promised Messiah when there was one day left in the time set for Atam. When they did this and presented the chickpeas to him, the promised Messiah took the chickpeas outside of Qadian and threw them in a deserted well and returned it hastily. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that when this objection regarding this matter was presented to me, I inquired from those who recorded this narration that why did you record this narration? This was against the clear actions of the promised Messiah. And this would mean that the promised Messiah, God forbid, used to practice mystical and magical enchantments. Upon inquiry, it came to light that someone had a dream about this. When this dream was mentioned to the promised Messiah, he said that this dream should be implemented literally. And to do this intentionally is completely different. Dreams are sometimes implemented in this way in order to safeguard from the occurrence of the harmful aspect in its literal sense, if Allah so wills. Therefore, those who interpret dreams have written that if a warnful dream are implemented literally, then they do not occur. And God the Almighty deems its literal implementation as sufficient. We see an example of this from the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Prophet saw gold bangles of the Kaiser in the hands of Suraka bin Malik. In this vision, one indication was that Iran will be conquered, and normally that is what we construe, that Iran will be conquered. The other indication was that after the invasion of Iran, some calamities and afflictions by the Iranians are also inevitable. Because if gold is seen in a dream, its meaning are grief and affliction. Hadhrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, understood this meaning of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's vision. And he called Suraka and instructed him to wear the bangles, or I will flog you. Men are forbidden to wear gold bangles. So this was not only to fulfill what was said about the Holy Prophet, rather, it was also to avoid the harmful aspect, if there was any. For this reason, Hazrat Umar made Suraka bin Malik wear the bangles. Hence, Suraka bin Malik was made to wear the gold bangles, and in this way, Hazrat Umar tried to avert the sorrowful and worrisome aspect of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's vision. So some things that are said without reference to context can create issues. Once Hadhrat Musleh Maud delivered a sermon, and in this he advised the members of the community to safeguard from altercations and disorder. This happened in 1931, and he said that the community has reached the age of maturity, and we should form ourselves, our faith, and our religious knowledge accordingly. We should conform our actions according to the knowledge which our faith instructs. After saying this, Hadhrat Musleh Maud mentioned a person that has been expelled for this reason. When after the sermon, the Khutbah Saniya commenced, then during this sermon, a person stood up and asked Hadhrat Khalif Tomasi II that Hazur, what is the name of the person whose expulsion has been announced? At that, a second person says one shouldn't speak during the sermon. Hazrat Musleh Maud smiled and narrated an incident of the promised Messiah regarding a search. Superintendent Police Gurdaspur was carrying out this search in relation to the murder of Pandit Lekh Ram. The promised Messiah said that the superintendent police tried to go through a small door and injured his head severely. He banged his head on the frame of the door and his head started to spin. We offered him milk, but he refused and said that I am here at this time for the search and this would be against my official obligation. This was his reply to the promised Messiah. At that, the same person who has been mentioned earlier, who asked the name of the person who was expelled. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that this same person who just spoke now spontaneously said he asked the promised Messiah, that Hazur, did his head bleed or not? The promised Messiah alayhi salam laughed and said, I didn't take his hat off to see. So similarly, some people are in the habit of speaking meaninglessly sometimes. Anyways, it is not permissible to speak during the sermon. But the other person who spoke up to advise that it is not permissible to speak during the sermon, his act was also wrong. It is pointed out through an indication or it can be mentioned afterwards. At this, Hadhrat Musleh Maud narrated another joke, that a person came to the mosque while prayer was being offered in congregation. He said, Salam, out loud. A worshipper replied, Wa alaikum as-salam, out loud, in the same manner. The other worshipper who was standing beside him said, You don't know that it is not permissible to speak during the prayers? Why did you reply? So anyways, it should be kept in mind that the sermon is part of the prayer. Hence, it is not permissible to speak during the sermon. If something needs to be said or to stop someone, then the imam who is delivering the khutbah or the sermon can do so. Even the imam cannot speak during the prayer. Even in the houses, the children should be trained particularly regarding this matter, that as it is not permissible to speak during the prayer, it is also not permissible to speak during the sermon.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.